Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers, he is calling me Dude!
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, did you see the Academy Award nominations came out this weekend?
Yeah, I saw that happened.
Did you look at any of the nominations of who's nominated for Best Picture?
No, not really. Was Love Guru nominated?
No, dude, Love Guru. Now, come on. Okay. You know that one in 2006.
Everybody
How
knows
How dare
this.
You? The movie that everyone's talking about is The Artist.
That's the silent movie?
Right.
I think my wife saw that.
Yeah.
I heard nobody talks.
Yeah, this is a clip from it.
That is compelling.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, that is compelling.
Oh. And that was a shitty start.
No, I'm going to keep going. No, forget it. I'm in a salty mood.
I won't talk.
I'm in a salty mood, dude.
If you won't restart, I will walk out of here.
You're not walking out.
I will walk out like Tim Thomas at the White House.
You're just going to quit.
I will walk out like Tim Thomas at the White House.
You're going to walk out like
I have had enough of your politics. I love Glenn Beck. Dude, I will not. And the next thing you're going to do, you're going to wave me and you're not even going to tell me about it. I can't believe you tonight, dude.
This is the best podcast we've done in a year so far. I'm going to keep going. Screw it. I'm salty about the Sharks.
Sure. You're upset. I know why you're the most upset and why I'm upset with you.
Okay, why?
The first 49er game you watch all year, they lose. They blow it, they lose. I blame you.
That is so true.
I blame you.
That is so true, too.
I completely blame you.
It is not Kyle Williams' fault. It's my fault.
Dude, I have to say that watching the 49ers sort of self-destruct.
Yeah.
Just reminded me of the first half of the Sharks season in so many ways.
They're not as bad at this point of the season as they were last year. Last year, they had a really crappy start.
Oh, yeah. No, there's no doubt about it. And again, we're complaining about a team that's in first place in their division. But there's certainly a lot of things that have not gone correctly in the first half of the season here. And we're going to break that down in a little bit of a first half recap. Things that we felt went right. Things we felt went wrong. And since Mike's feeling a little bit salty, you're going to jump into an email.
I'm starting with Jim because Jim is feeling like we had this conversation not 2 hours before I got this email from Jim. And I'm just going to cut to the chase.
Okay.
Reality time, Chicago and Vancouver are flat out better than the Sharks. I don't believe they'll be pushing Detroit around the next couple of times out either now that the Wings are back on track. And they were to play Boston right now, the Sharks would be chum. Okay. Yeah. I'm not going to get to the rest of it because that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing. He does go and throw Joe Thornton under the bus, who probably deserves it, and Marleau probably deserves it. And really, only Pavs and Couture are doing well at this point. And Jim talks about maybe supplanting Thornton and Marleau from the top line and doing Pavs and Couture on the real top line. I don't know if I buy into that, but I certainly buy into the first sentence. Right now, the Sharks are second tier. There is no question. The Sharks are a second-tier NHL team at this point. You talk about the best teams in the West, and I read these articles, and you know the best four or five teams in the West. Yeah, okay, Sharks are best four or five teams. I might say they're the sixth best team at this point. I might put them behind LA, and I might put them behind St. Louis.
Now the salt has just spoiled.
Yeah, I'm a little.
You're
salty.
Going a little. That's going a little bit too far.
Okay, maybe I'm going a little too far, but my initial hypothesis is the same. The Sharks are a second tier team. They did not compete. I disagree with Drew Amenda. He said that they played well against Vancouver. I think Vancouver dominated all but about 6 minutes of that game.
Uh huh. I agree.
I think the Sharks played pretty well after they tied the game. For about 3 minutes, and then Vancouver scored and went up again. And the Sharks played okay when they right around the time that they tied the game again late, and then they just completely gave the game away and lost it. And everything up and surrounding all of those points, it was basically all Vancouver. I mean, the Sharks got a couple scoring chances here and there, but it wasn't even. It wasn't a flat playing surface. It was tilted towards the Sharks' goal at all times, and the Sharks didn't have a lot of answers for the best Vancouver players. And it's just frustrating the hell out of me right now.
The Sharks have played Vancouver and Chicago 7 times combined, and they've have one regulation win.
Yeah.
They beat Vancouver in a shootout, which That doesn't count to me.
Who cares?
You can't beat them in regulation. It's very frustrating. Jim is right on the nose here.
Yeah.
It is the headline of the what went wrong section for me is we are unable to beat the other two teams that will probably be there at the end. Mm-hmm. Now, I disagree with Jim. I know Detroit's hot, but I really think we still have ownage on them. And if we met them in the series, what's changed for them? Like they're worse than they've been in the last couple of years on paper.
Howard's better.
Okay, Howard's better, but still the Sharks head to head against the Wings twice this year. They've beat them badly twice. Now I know they've figured it out recently, mm-hmm. but you know the Wings have been good the last 2 years too. We still beat them.
They've been good the last 20.
Yeah. So the Wings, I think, and Sharks, I would put the Sharks ahead of the Wings in terms of playoffs. If we play the Wings again, I am confident. I'm confident. We're not the underdog to them anymore. We're the favorite if we play them in a playoff series. Chicago and Vancouver, absolutely not.
Yeah, we're screwed. I mean, right now.
I have no confidence at this moment that we can beat them in a playoff series. I don't.
Right.
And that
I would be scared if we face St. Louis. I would be very scared.
I'm not scared of St. Louis.
I am scared of St. Louis. They have two great goalies right now and a great system. That is death.
Well, we've seen other teams like this in the regular season that don't do well in the playoffs, like Nashville. Mm-hmm. How are they any different than Nashville? Nashville always
they have better top end forwards.
No, they do, but they don't have an elite talent forward. They do it by committee. Yeah. Backes is playing well.
Backes is great,
but they don't have an elite end forward. They have good D. They're a good, well balanced team with good goaltending. That's the same as Nashville. I don't buy it. Like I don't buy that St. Louis is a legitimate cup contender. But they would be a pain in the ass to play for sure. They definitely would. But Vancouver and Chicago, that's the giant mountain right now. And Chicago has problems. They have, you know, their D is like their bottom pairing D is borderline embarrassing. Like, I mean, it's John Scott and Monador. I've never been a fan of Monador. And you lose a player like Brian Campbell, who's like thriving in Florida. Mm-hmm. He looks like the Brian Campbell of old.
He has like 80 points already.
And you're replacing him with Letty, who's done good. Fine.
He's good.
But he's not great.
He's not great.
That's a step backwards.
Sure.
And
Yarmolson has frankly never stepped. Aren't you glad that Chicago matched?
That's definitely been a good move, you know, in terms of Doug Wilson calling their bluff. So Chicago on paper, dude,
they call the Sharks bluff. They call the Sharks bluff. Doug Wilson gave Yarmolson an offer sheet and Chicago kept him.
Right. So in the end, it ends up being Doug Wilson's good move.
Right. Right. Now it looks like they overpaid him.
They're stuck with a player that's not worth that money.
Probably.
So
he's not worth Lyle's money.
The Hawks should not be...
Which we'll get to.
The Hawks should not be... And actually, the Hawks have fallen all the way to sixth, dude. We would play them right now in the first round.
And we would lose. We would lose.
As the teams are going right now, I agree.
Right.
And I do believe that the Sharks are better than Chicago if they can figure it out. If they can play the way that I believe the team can play, I think they are a better team. But if there was a playoff series tonight, they would lose it.
See, I disagree. I think Chicago is a better team at almost every position except goaltending. And maybe goaltending would be enough. Maybe it would be enough. Huh. But you can't tell me that Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews, who I guess is out at the moment, but I mean Toews will be back for the playoffs. You can't tell me that's a worse top line than what we got. And Patrick Sharp is playing great. And Dave Boland is one of the best third liners in the league.
Yeah. They're a very good team.
And Duncan Keith is another Norris candidate.
They're a very good team, and they're definitely going to address some of their shortcomings at the trade deadline.
They need a fifth or sixth defenseman, and
they'll get one.
They're going to be fine.
They will get one. There's no doubt about it. It certainly is something to be concerned about. And Vancouver is Vancouver.
Yeah.
You know?
They're playing great.
And they're playing very well, dude. So we've been jumping all over the negative Nancy train right now. And if anyone's even still listening.
What do you mean? This is great radio.
It is.
This is what radio
I'm not saying it's bad radio.
Right.
I'm just saying that you are sourpuss tonight.
I am sour. And I'm and the whole Nitimaki thing kind of pisses me off, too.
Okay, well, let's talk about that.
Okay, so the Sharks waived Nitimaki, which we sort of called. We figured this was going to happen. And word from Kevin Kurds at CSN and others is that the Sharks have been shopping him and no one wants him.
Of course not.
No one wants a gimpy second line, you know, backup goalie for $2 million. The horrors, you know, who would have thunk it? But then there's this article that made Puck Daddy that says Nitimaki, you know, claimed, at least it's according to a Finnish translation, that, you know, he didn't hear it. He heard it from the media and he doesn't want to be a part of the Sharks organization anymore.
Well, he's lucky because that's going to happen.
That's mutual. That's a mutual feeling. But, you know, I was sort of bummed about that because I'm like, you know, the Sharks are traditionally a pretty classy organization and they usually deal with players in the right way. And then I go back to work in the corners and it turns out Doug Wilson told his agent yesterday.
Yeah, there's no way that it went down like that.
So either the translation is bupkis or he is terribly informed and he should fire his agent because his agent didn't bother to tell him that he was going to be waived the next day.
Yeah, or he could just be full of it, dude. Like, I mean, you know, this is a guy who's embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking to a Finnish newspaper, I mean, I don't know. You know, who knows what happened? Translation wrong, Nitimaki full of it, or he didn't get the word from his agent and it's his agent's fault. Either way, Nitimaki's gone. He's not going to be playing for Worcester. They've made that pretty clear. You know, they have a young stable of goalies that need to play. He is either going to be picked up, which will not happen, or he's going to end up going overseas,
mm-hmm.
which he's going to go the old Grice route from last year. He'll play in Germany, in Switzerland, Sweden, somewhere.
Yeah.
But not here.
To his credit, Nitty said he knows the score. I mean, he said, yeah, I'm a $2 million backup goaltender that hasn't played a lot.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, he knows what side the bread is buttered on there.
Right.
So, I mean, in that respect, I do wish him luck. I appreciate his self-awareness in that regard. It's just, it kind of sucks. It just kind of makes the Sharks look bad. Because I posted in the comment section over at Puck Daddy, I'm like, Doug Wilson disputes this story that he heard from the media. Like, Doug Wilson, and that didn't make the front page of Puck Daddy yet, at least as of this recording. So, you know, I mean, at the end, it's going to look like the Sharks tooled one of their own players.
Yeah.
I'm salty about that. I'm salty about a lot of things.
I don't think, I think we can feel pretty confident that's not what happened. You know, I mean, he
sure.
seems to be pretty upfront, even when he did, you know, wave Kyle MacLaren, send him down. I mean, mm-hmm. it seemed like that was not, you know, handled poorly or classlessly, you know. So you'd like to think that Doug Wilson seems like a guy of integrity, and this is not, you know, how he's gonna run the organization. And he definitely went about it the right way. But in terms of Nitimaki not being around, it's certainly nothing personal. It's just you were hurt and you got replaced, and you're too expensive, and we can't have you sitting around. So right. See you later, man.
And I don't begrudge.
Thanks for 15 games of fun, or however many you played.
And he ought to be pissed off. I mean, I'm not saying he shouldn't be mad.
Yeah, he could be pissed off. He should sit in Lake Tahoe and cash his checks. Dude.
No, he wants to play. He's a professional athlete.
He can play NHL 12 and start himself, dude.
Dude. The guy's been playing hockey for the last 20 years of his life, 25 years of his
and
life.
He
He's not going to want to
next
sit,
year.
Sit on
he
the
should
bench.
Just cash his checks and shut up.
No, he wants to play. He ain't getting any younger. He's already 31.
You started this tonight, dude.
Yeah.
You started it.
Yeah.
If you're going to start it, you better finish it.
I'm poking the beast now. Yeah. This is good. It's good. So, yeah, I'm just kind of in a bummer mood.
Okay. I want to talk about good things.
Like
okay.
What?
I want to talk about good things because they're. The first half of the season obviously was not all terrible. You know, we're talking about this team that's leading the Pacific Division. Another Pacific Division banner is on our way, dude. We can see it hanging in the rafters.
Yeah, great. I can see it now.
Things are not all bad, right?
Right. I mean, Fear the Finn started their podcast again.
That's right.
That's right.
No, so things are definitely.
So we have more competition.
We
now.
Do. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. That's another good. Oh wait, no, that's not a good thing. Okay, sorry.
No, it
bad
doesn't
example.
Matter. No, I mean, anyone is allowed to podcast.
I'm not
dude.
Saying no one's allowed
we
to podcast.
We don't have like the monopoly on podcasts. I
wouldn't
just
mind
saying,
having the monopoly.
I don't have time. Fear the Finn posts so much. I don't have time to read it. They should be more like us and post nothing.
Right. Yes, that's
just,
a good
just post nothing.
That's an
just no content, and then like an hour rant that clearly, if you're still listening.
What do you mean? We're only 15 minutes
I
in.
I know, but we've been so negative, dude.
Yeah, I know. But this is entertaining.
to us.
I listened to Howard today, and they talked for 20 minutes about how they had to fire a guy because he sent another guy in the office a box of elephant poo. Now, that's radio.
That is pretty. Was it dried?
It was. It was, and it was to Scott the engineer.
No. But he deserves it.
Yes, okay. He absolutely
can
does.
We talk, let's talk about the good stuff.
Sorry, okay. I beg your pardon.
After a pretty lousy start, Dan Boyle is seventh in the NHL with defensemen in scoring.
Yeah,
right?
That's good.
He's playing well. He's producing. He's got 29 points. He's a plus 12. He's Dan Boyle.
He's our boy.
He's the man. He's playing outstanding. He may blink a lot.
We have a tweet about that. Question for the podcast. Why does Dan Boyle blink so much? Dude, the answer is?
The more you blink, the less your mascara runs.
Okay. So that's a good theory.
That's why I blink a lot.
I'm going with actually a scientific answer.
Yes.
I've heard he drinks like 2 pots of coffee before each game. I'm going with caffeine buzz.
Dude, that is awesome because I love coffee and I believe that that could be true.
I've done that before. I've had like a couple of Cokes before a game. It didn't really help me.
If the camera's on him, he's always doing that eye thing.
Well,
yeah.
I'm guessing, you know, like legal stimulants.
Dude, whatever works.
Like caffeine?
Whatever. Yeah,
he's just like
works.
He's just pounding the Red Bull and the Powerade.
Dan Boyle is the man and he's playing like the man.
He is the man.
You know, I can understand why they're not curbing his minutes because you got to have him out there.
He's a man.
You got to have him out there. He's clearly, at 36, still an elite NHL defenseman.
Right.
He's an elite defenseman. Vlasic's development as a legit NHL shutdown defenseman. This has been a huge step forward for him, right, dude?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, this is a jump forward that I frankly didn't expect after a trajectory over the past few years. Major, major good thing.
More good news. Jamie McGinn's emergence as a legitimate NHL player.
Yes, that is a good thing too. He's really embraced his inner Cal Clutterbuck.
Yeah. I mean, leads the team in hits, which I know is sort of a questionable stat, but he's physical. He's under control. Like, he only has like 17 penalty minutes or something like that.
He doesn't have like a 5-minute major every game like he did in the playoffs.
Like, he's being physical, but he's not completely reckless, and he has 16 points. So he's contributing, and he scored some pretty key goals for them. So I'm happy about that, dude. Yep. The team is very strong 5-on-5, but their special teams is not so strong. But let's continue to focus on the positive. We talked about the total ownage of Detroit, which is true. Uh-huh. So far, we beat them twice in convincing fashion. And recently, dude, in 2012, the PK is 24-for-27, which is almost 89%.
That's good.
Which would be, if it was that way the whole year, we'd be third in the NHL.
That's good.
So that is great.
Turned over a new leaf in the
PK. Have turned over a new leaf. Now, unfortunately, because it was so bad at the beginning of the year, they're still 26th.
Doesn't really matter.
But that doesn't matter. It matters how they're playing now, dude.
Yeah.
It matters how they're playing now.
Yep.
Before we get into the what went wrong, shall we talk about...
Did we cover that already?
We've talked about some of it. But the Edmonton and Calgary games kind of go in that category. Oh my God, those were so painful.
Yeah.
They were painful to watch. And I told you I thought they would lose them both. I really thought they would.
And even though
Calgary won, they won in Calgary, I feel like we lost that game. Like it was...
Yeah.
I was so disgusted.
Yeah.
The whole game. Like I just couldn't believe that this was really how they were playing. Yeah, they're getting a lot of shots, dude. But it's like watching a team shoot like 43 pointers.
Yeah,
like they're so far away.
Yeah,
I know. They're nowhere close to getting in the paint and in the crease and getting. They're just not doing any of that stuff. It's so frustrating, dude.
Yeah, it is. It is very frustrating. Did you? I noticed that both Randy and Drew were pronouncing the name Alex Tangay. I always thought it was Tangay.
I don't know.
I don't know. It was weird. Because like I really noticed it. It seemed like they were like actually trying like specifically to say Tangay. It was just weird. It caught me off. I noticed it like 10 times during the game. You didn't notice it?
No.
Does anybody know like the right way to pronounce a dude's name? Because I mean, I've been saying Tangay the whole time.
Tangay or Tangay?
Tangay.
Alex Tangay.
Exactly.
Yeah, like that.
I need to know these things.
How about Oli Jokinen?
Oli sucks a lot. I think that's how you pronounce it. Anyway. Yeah, the Calgary game was not good. The Edmonton game, they got 57 shots against a guy the size of Andre the Giant in goal, and they couldn't score. And
this
Devin
is so embarrassing. Like, you know, Edmonton, they're missing so many players.
And they're bad. They're like 2 points out of last.
They're bad, and they were missing a lot of their best players while they were still bad. Right. And we couldn't do anything. It's just is.
And the whole Brent Burns thing.
This is what really pisses me off.
Yeah.
All right. This is the Brent Burns thing and the Desjardins thing. Both these situations. Burns gets a knee on knee from Hemsky. Now, right. I know he's not a dirty player, but someone should have kicked his ass, dude.
Yeah.
And someone should have kicked someone else's ass or done something.
Fine, Zach Sorrentini and kick his ass.
Nothing.
Yeah.
They did nothing.
I know.
No response. Nothing.
Right.
And when Desjardins got elbowed, nobody did anything. And I can't believe it, dude. I can't believe it. And it just goes back to what I thought we'd gotten away from is that you know what? You can't push the Sharks around. Here we are again. The Sharks are being pushed around again. Let's just play physical against them and knock out some of their best players. And when we do that, they won't do anything.
Right.
No one's going to do anything.
Well, in their defense, after Ryan Miller got hit by Milan Lucic, Buffalo really bounced back.
that's unacceptable, too.
Yeah,
but at least in the second time they met, there were two fights in the first 5 minutes. But the Sharks aren't going to do that, dude.
I know.
They're not going to do that. And I don't understand it. And I don't know if it's because Klo's not there. I mean, if Klo had been there and had been healthy in the first game or had been there and the Edmonton game would have been different, maybe.
Right.
But it shouldn't matter. Like someone
needs to step up.
Someone needs to step up. Someone needs to say this is not going to happen. And
right.
It's not going to happen. And they didn't do it.
Who did Pavelski fight? Not in that game though.
Pavelski fought Keith Ballard in the Vancouver game, which I found to be amusing, and I appreciate the effort.
Right.
On his part, and you know they were both being physical, and he dropped the gloves. So good for him. But I mean, we need to see some more stuff like that.
Right.
Like someone should have done something.
I agree.
And no one did anything, and it's irritating.
And maybe he didn't mean it, and maybe he didn't mean to hurt.
I don't care if he meant it.
I don't care either. You got
it. Doesn't matter.
There has to be a response.
There has to be a response. You have to be afraid of playing physically against the Sharks, and no one is. Like, no one is.
Right.
That they're going to continue to play physical and take runs at Sharks players because, obviously, the word is back out on the street, the Sharks are soft.
Mm-hmm.
They're soft, and it's frustrating. It's just so maddening to see them be like that.
I know.
Because they have players who don't have to play like that. They have guys who are fully capable of taking care of business. You know?
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen, dude.
I'm making you depressed.
No,
it's working.
I was upset before I got here.
Yeah, I was too. I mean, even though we won against Calgary, that's barely a victory.
No.
Well, now we're at the All-Star break, dude, so we can lick our wounds and hopefully Burns will be healthy. I mean, the good news The good news out of that is that, I mean, you look at that and I mean, he couldn't even put weight on it. I mean, that looked terrible, right? That could be just like, you know, not career ending, but I mean, that could be a season ending injury.
Sure.
And looks like he dodged a bullet there and he was walking around and David Pollock mentioned that he saw him in the press box and he saw him walk away and you couldn't really even notice a limp. So that's all good news.
He should be fine. I mean, that's the word, is
right.
That he should be fine and back and playing against Columbus when they come back, dude. Things that are coming up, I mean, you know, word and rumors are circling about the trade deadline.
Yep.
And as we're looking forward, dude.
Mm-hmm. We got podcast fodder, dude,
okay.
About the trade deadline from Chris, who's from Salt Lake City. I think Chris is a first-time emailer. Thanks for emailing, Chris. Which, of course, is questions@dudesonhockey.com.
Thank you.
The other night of the Sharks broadcast, Drew mentioned that he believed the Sharks' biggest need via trade would be a top six forward. Because of injuries to Klo and Havlat, both of whom have not completely filled their offensive role this season, as well as the lack of production from the other top six forwards outside of Couture, this now seems much more pressing than a bottom six forward. Is it possible or plausible the Sharks could make a move for a top forward even after other moves from this past summer? Is there a top forward you could see coming to the Sharks? And any thoughts, dude? What's your reaction to the idea of the Sharks trading for a top six forward?
No.
My reaction is that's throwing good money after bad.
Yeah, the Sharks have the players that are supposed to be filling that role, and I agree that you either due to injury or lack of performance, some of them have not been filling that role, but you have the players to play that part. And right. I believe that they're missing that third line forward who could be a pain in the ass and be physical and chip in some goals. I don't think they have that player yet. And that should be the target still in my mind. But, you know, Havlat's going to be back around the trade deadline. That's like picking up a top six forward. And Havlat was good when he came off the injured list the first time. So maybe he'll be like that again. It seemed like a chemistry thing for him. When they played him with Marlow, he was bad. They played him with Couture or Hanzos, he was good.
Yeah.
So I think the top six forward is coming, and his name is Martin Havlat.
Right. This is kind of a tortured analogy, but last year when it looked like Sidney Crosby wasn't going to be out until the end of time, and, you know, it seemed like, okay, the Penguins are one piece away from making another cup run, did they go out and trade some guys and get another top six forward? No, they didn't. They stuck with what they had. I mean, they traded Gogo because Gogo was not fitting right, but they didn't get James Neal because
that was a player for player move.
Yeah, they didn't get James Neal because they wanted to fill the Sidney Crosby role. They got James Neal because they got a great deal on James Neal.
Right. Would maybe they trade a player for a player? I don't know. Maybe.
It could happen.
I mean, that could happen, but a lot of these guys are just immovable. You know, Thornton's immovable. Marlowe's immovable.
Pavelski, you don't want to move.
Pavelski, you won't move. Couture, you won't move. Chloe, you can't trade Ryan Chloe either. I mean, he's like the only guy who, I don't care if he's not putting pucks in the net, he's like the only one who plays like 100% like every night. Like,
right.
You can't trade him.
And they're both signed.
And Havlat, you can't trade him either. I mean, like, no one's going to take that contract. So you're kind of stuck.
And then you got this logjam when those guys come off of IR anyhow. So
yeah,
the upside of it is very small. So that's why I don't think the Sharks are going to be looking for a top six forward. I would be shocked.
No.
I would be shocked if they go for a guy like that over a guy like the people we've been talking about all year, another third line winger, you know, a guy that can play with Hanzus and kill penalties and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that's the type of player that I fully expect them to get. Like, I'm going to be very disappointed if it doesn't happen, because then I think that's blindness. And I'll say it again, the guy that I want, and I saw an article written about it.
You were so excited.
Today, was Paul Gostad. The Sabres are going backwards, and I think they're going to start trading players. And Doug Wilson has a history. He has a history of Darcy Regier. They've made the Campbell deal. They've made the Craig Reve deal.
Mm-hmm.
They have it, and they made the... When they trade for, Bernier was in that deal.
Yeah.
So they have a history of connecting at the deadline. So hopefully they can do it again.
Yeah, Paul Gostad is the holy grail.
That's the get. I mean, that's the guy.
That's the guy.
He would be absolutely
perfect.
It'd make a huge difference. It really would.
I think so.
Because that's toughness. That's penalty killing. That's a huge, gigantic body to put in front of the goalie on the power play.
And he's good enough that he could play second line minutes. He's been playing second line minutes throughout the season with Buffalo.
He's a good player, and he's a player that's not that old, and you would want to keep him. You would want to keep him.
Right.
For several years. Like, this is a guy that you wanna keep. Now, why would Buffalo not keep him? Because he's going to get a raise.
Yeah,
he's going to cost about $3.5 million as an unrestricted free agent.
Right,
that's what he's going to cost. Is he worth that money? Yes,
I think so.
He is. If Joel Ward is, he is.
Oh yeah,
he's a better player.
He's better than Joel Ward.
He's a better player. And dude, we have made wish lists before, and it comes true.
Right,
and I'm going to stick to the guns here, dude.
All right,
Paul Gostad, that's the player we need. So I'm going to ask you, what's the price? Now, we've talked about this before. And I've got some, I've ran some comps here, dude.
All right.
At the trade deadline in the past. Okay.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask.
Ville Niemanen.
I'm going to ask you, which player you think is the most comparable to Paul Gostad?
Okay.
Brad Winchester.
Eh.
Chris Kelly.
Okay.
Mike Fisher.
Mm.
Rafi Torres.
Uh-huh.
Matt Cullen.
I'm going to go Mike Fisher.
Gosh, see, I said Mike Fisher is a better player than Paul Gostad.
I think he's a better player, but he's the closest comp.
So Fisher cost two picks, a first and a conditional pick that I don't know what it ended up being because he resigned. So I don't know what that pick ended up being. We can assume it was pretty high. You know,
just picks? Just two picks?
Just two picks. Now, the Sharks have their first and they have two second rounders, assuming that they don't sign Patrick White, which they won't.
Right.
They'll get that second round pick. They have no third rounder. They have no fourth rounder in this year's draft. So are the Sharks really looking to move their first round pick again? Like I don't think they will. I can't imagine that happening. They have 2 seconds. So
I give them a goalie.
You think they're going to want a goalie?
Yeah. I mean, there's rumors about Miller being shipped. I mean, they might want to go younger at goalie, go with some younger guys.
So tell them they can pick.
There's a comment on the blog about Merrick versus Wyshynski saying that Miller could come to the Sharks.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Hilarious.
That's hilarious.
We only have 12 goalies in the system. Why would we want another one? Plus a goalie that's signed for the next 4 years.
I'm saying,
unless Niemi's going the other way.
Are you shocked that, guess what Brad Winchester cost at the deadline last year? A third rounder.
Really?
That's what he costs. So I'm going to say a second and Demers.
I'd do it.
A second and Demers.
I'd do it.
I would do it too because in my mind, it's very clear that Braun has passed Demers. Like he's passed him. You know, they don't play Demers on the penalty kill. They play Braun on the penalty kill. They play them both on the power play. You know, Demers is like a -7. Braun's a -1. You know, you don't need them both. Like, if you can turn one of those guys...
Not with Jim Vandermeer healthy.
If you can turn one of those guys into Paul Gostad and you throw them a second, you do it.
Oh, yeah.
You do it.
I do that every day
so
of the week.
So that's my price, dude. So I want to hear from the listeners.
Ship it.
Let's put it as the poll question.
Okay.
And see if you feel like that's a fair price and would you make that deal or do you think that's not enough? You know, is that not enough? So...
All right, dude.
That's the dealio.
What else we got?
I want to ask you one more question.
All right. We got to talk about Tim Thomas because that's like the big controversy.
We will. But another thing that I read was, and this is jumping into the off season, but Brad Stewart is evidently not going to re-sign in Detroit because he wants to be closer to his family that lives in San Jose.
I'd take him.
Are the Sharks, would you pay, though? I mean, Brad Stewart this year is making $3.75 million.
Hey-o.
So... He's 32, so it's not like we're talking about a guy who's 36.
Yeah.
I would think Brad Stewart's going to be older. Would you give Brad Stewart 3 years, you know, 3 years, $10.5 million?
No.
Yeah,
That doesn't fit in the salary structure.
It's pretty tough.
I'd love to have him on the team, but... I don't think the Sharks could afford it.
Well, I mean, it's just something for us to look at down the road and go, gosh, you know, it's possible. Because
right now, he's a debatable number four on the Sharks, right? You're not going to pay $3 million for the number four. Or, that means Murray's the number five, right?
Right.
So, in Murray, we're paying $2.5 million.
Right.
So, you're paying $2.5 million for the number five defenseman, and you're going to pay $3-plus million for the number four?
Yeah.
And then
I think in that scenario, Murray would probably not be here anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you know,
I'm throwing out a long-term topic.
Yeah.
Dude.
That's a weird, that's something to chew over.
We're definitely not there yet, dude. So, Tim Thomas.
Yeah. We just got to talk about it because as everybody knows, or longtime listeners know, I watch PTI for reasons that sometimes I don't understand. They actually talked about Tim Thomas for the past 2 days straight, which believe me, never happens. Okay. Oh, we got to talk about Ovechkin because they talked about him too.
Okay.
Anyway, so I guess, you know, the Bruins, as all Stanley Cup winners do, go to the White House, and Tim Thomas released a statement saying he's not going to the White House. He doesn't believe where the country is going, yada, yada, yada. And it's a personal decision, and this is the last thing he's going to say about it. And then all anybody ever talks about for the next 3 days in the hockey world, it seems to be, is Tim Thomas, and he's snubbing, you know, the president and blah, blah, blah. And now there's a new thing that came out, I guess, in the Boston Globe where, which, you know, this could be another poll question, which someone described Thomas as bleep, selfish bleep. So the poll question has to be, what are the two bleeps exactly? What's your call on the, on which the, what's the first bleep and the second bleep?
Delicious. So
okay.
Prime rib.
Delicious, selfish prime rib.
Yep.
That's your.
That's my guess.
No, seriously. I'm going to go with effing bleep D.
That's
effing I think selfish D. That's my guess.
Yeah. I think that's pretty good.
Yeah. You got a better one?
I might go, G damn.
Uh-huh.
Selfish.
Uh-huh.
D bag.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a good yeah. good idea as yeah. well. Too bad we can't have two poll questions at once. I'd love to know what that bleep is. But okay, so what's your take on this whole thing, dude? I mean, like, you know, some people feel extremely strongly about it, some people don't care at all. Where are you?
I'm pretty excited the NHL has named a new award after him called the Dushinza. So for the lamest goalie.
Yeah.
I was pretty disappointed. You know, it's sort of like Marlon Brando not accepting his Academy Award and sending like the Native American lady up there. Like what's the point of making some sort of public stand that obviously no one cares. Like
right.
No, I haven't read a single like positive, like good for you,
right.
like reaction to this. Like, what's the point? Like, this isn't about like, you know, you voicing your political concerns, like to the nation rush,
yeah,
you know?
Right.
Like who cares, you know, go for your teammates. Like,
right.
Don't make this about you, which is basically all he did. And says, I'm not going. You guys all go without me. And I'll see you later. Like, so then, you know, he just put himself in front of the team, which they've got to be pretty disappointed. I mean, like, that's not going to make any friendships
right.
in the locker room, right?
I doubt it.
So the Bruins did go in a skid here mm-hmm. in the last 10 games. They did, you know, finish about 500 for their last 10. So has this impacted them as a team?
It's possible.
So
maybe I won't block that shot this time. Shea Weber's winding up. Oh, I think I'll step to the side.
it'll be interesting to see if this has a long-term effect on the team or if it also has any sort of impact on whether or not, you know, the Bruins have two good goalies. You know, maybe Thomas won't be there after this season.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to go that far. I just, to me, at the very best, this is a terrible public relations calculation on his part. Like, he clearly had no idea what was going to happen. And at the worst, it's, as you said, he just put himself completely ahead of the Bruins and said, it's not about, you know, the Bruins being celebrated in the highest political office in the land, regardless of that president's politics. It's about how I feel about the president. That's the gating item. That's
should
the most
Bruins important thing. Have required him to go?
I believe they should have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I would have taken a stronger stance if I were them. I said, listen, you know, and this is something the PTI guy said too. There is standard language, boilerplate language in every player contract that says, you know, you could be fined or in trouble for conduct detrimental to the league or the team. Mm-hmm. And to me, this is conduct detrimental to the team.
It's conduct detrimental to both.
Yes.
This doesn't look good for,
right.
it's not a nice public relations move for the NHL.
No, it's bad.
It's just not nice.
And while maybe my personal politics don't agree with Tim Thomas's, I would feel exactly the same way if it was a, you know, a person on the other political side of the spectrum, and he wouldn't go visit George W. Bush.
I was just going to say the same thing. If we were awarded Podcast of the Year and we had to go accept an award from George W. Bush
or Rick Santorum, President Santorum,
and we are not fans,
Google Santorum. Yeah, Google it
now.
Not right now. Like after the show.
Let's talk about Bush.
Okay. We would go.
Of course we'd go.
I wouldn't think twice.
And I would shake his hand. And I would take pictures with him. And you would go. Like, it's disrespectful to not go, dude. I don't understand it. Like,
and who says you can't be polite and cordial to someone that you vehemently disagree with?
Yeah. Isn't that what happens?
I'm smiling at you right now.
You are just a despicable, disgusting box of elephant dung.
Hey, I'm not Scott the Engineer.
You started this, dude.
I did start
you
it.
You started this.
And
you,
now I'm you, about to end it because we're over 40 minutes.
Out, dude.
I'm over 40 minutes,
dude. I want to talk another 20. I want to tell you about...
Another D-bag move, dude?
No.
I'm going to go to another dude.
Yeah.
Ovechkin not going to the All-Star game even though he could. Saying, I'm suspended. That means I'm not going to play.
So many guys backing out. So many guys backing out. This is why the All-Star game is just... It's just kind of a joke.
It's got to go away. I mean, I'm sorry it's a tradition, but they got to do something completely different, or they just got to ditch it entirely, because now half the people who get selected don't even go. Who cares? I mean, at this point, I've said before, I'd rather watch the skills competition anyhow. I never watch the game anymore. The game is ridiculously bad. It's so boring.
Yeah.
It's just guys like skating half-ass and just like trying to thread a pass for like 20 sticks.
Give them a week off.
Yeah.
Let them go to Lake Tahoe and get waived. And then...
Yeah. And then complain and then, finish
newspapers.
And
then come back. I mean, there should be a break.
Yeah.
But I like what the NFL's doing. Their Pro Bowl is this weekend. And if you're in the Super Bowl, then you don't have to play.
Right.
But if you didn't make it to the Super Bowl, then you get a trip to Hawaii.
Right.
Or wherever it is. Is it still in Hawaii?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it is.
But, hey, great. Free trip to Hawaii or wherever they are playing. And you go.
I think they should, instead of a game, they should have a musical review. Coffee in a cardboard cup. They could sing Manny Patinkin songs.
That's a good way to work that in there, dude.
Thanks, dude. Dude, I think we're done.
Okay.
I think we're done. Should we have another podcast before the All-Star break is over, or should we wait?
No. What are we going to talk about?
Dude, we said like 2 weeks ago that even if there was a lockout for 2 years, we'd talk every week. So clearly we can do it.
Yeah, I think we should let's wait.
Okay.
Let's wait. We've got two games coming up next week, right? Look at the schedule. Pull up that schedule, dude. Stop being lazy. Let's look at it.
All right.
We've got the Columbus Blue Jackets on the 31st, the Dallas Stars on the 2nd, dude.
Yes.
So,
and then the Coyotes on the weekend.
Yeah. I mean, I think we could I don't care, dude.
We'll talk to you when we talk to you.
That's right, because we'll make our own decisions.
Yeah, I'll do it my way.